after leaving the meeting, please sign the attendance sheet again because this is the only one that's going to be used. Is that what you said?
Everybody present, sign the attendance sheet that is now passing, or you will not be included in the attendance because I don't know who didn't leave. All I'm going to know is that everybody on that attendance is the one that's going to be here.
More news. Namibia. Namibia, after the murder of two puppet leaders placed in power by the Union of South Africa, has been guaranteed its independence by December of this year. For that guarantee, SWAPU, the South African Liberation Front, primarily Marxist, agreed that there will be no more guerrilla activities against Union of South Africa installations as the West's efforts to install a puppet regime in Namibia intensified. The murder of a key puppet leader there March 27, as you know, punctuated the tense atmosphere and brought swarms of South African riot police into the streets of Katura province. Two armed men ambushed puppet leader Chief Clemens Kapuo, K-A-P-U-U-O, in Katura, as he approached his grocery store. The leader of the Heros tribe, H-E-R-E-R-O-S, died of gunshot wounds 45 minutes after the shooting. There were two such puppet leaders murdered, and finally Union of South Africa gave up attempts to try to control Namibia. South African authorities attempted to link the Southwest African People's Organization, SWAPU, with the shooting, but SWAPU spokesman denied the charge. Kapuo, nominal head of the South African-inspired Turnhall Alliance, the Democratic Turnhall Alliance, DTA, poor choice of words to call it Democratic, was slated to become president of a Western USA-installed government as soon as negotiations between South Africa, which maintains illegal colonial rule over the country, and five Western contact nations were completed. The negotiations are opposed by SWAPU, which is waging armed struggle for Namibian independence. But now, as you know, since the time of this article, agreement has been reached by SWAPU that Namibia will be totally independent from the USA and the dreaded fascist regime of Union of South Africa. SWAPU leader Sam Nujoma, N-U-J-O-M-A, said in Lusaka, Zambia, that the group had nothing to do with the murder. And in New York City, SWAPU representatives laid the blame for the shooting on the illegal South African administration. Kapu's killing, a representative told The Guardian, is a part of the confusion created by the South African administration and will only serve its interests as an excuse to get in to the country to dominate it. Well, the domination was broken today, as I told you. Namibia was guaranteed. Namibia's N-A-M-I-B-I-A. It shows as Southwest Africa on your map. Kapu's death follows several weeks of fighting in Namibia between SWAPU supporters and backers of the DTA. These clashes have been billed by South African officials as tribal in nature. But in fact, the South Africans have instigated an harassment campaign against SWAPU supporters, which has left over 414 people dead and at least 200 injured. 11 of the slain supporters were striking workers in Windhoek, who were attacked by Kapoor's backers. Union of South Africa did try to maintain Windhoek, W-I-N-D-H-O-E-K, as a base, but that is not acceptable either to Namibia. The others were killed in Ovambo, O-V-A-M-B-O. The clashes, the SWAPU representative said, reflect South Africa's desperate efforts to demonstrate that SWAPU does not enjoy the popular support of the Namibian people. Now, this is just an article of a few days old, and in these few days, Namibia has been taken over by SWAPU and guaranteed total liberation and national independence. The racist regime of Union of South Africa is intent upon creating the illusion that under independence, tribal rivalries would prevent the formation of a stable government. The South Africans have been arming anti-SWAPU forces throughout Namibia. The assassination will undoubtedly throw a monkey wrench in United States plans to win international support for the Turnhal, T-U-R-N-H-A-L-L-E, alliance with Kapoor, K-A-P-U-U-O, as its head. The alliance is actually headed by white settlers, with black leaders installed only as figureheads, with absolute white domination by people who were Germanic origin, and totally supportive of Adolf Hitler, who, as I said, they're trying to resettle now in Uruguay and Bolivia near Santa Cruz. Upwards of 1,200,000 of these racist pigs. Well, anyway, with Kapoor's death, white settler leader Dirk Mudge, M-U-D-G-E, moved into chairmanship of the group. He later went down and was felled by bullets a few days ago. Although the United Nations has declared South Africa's rule in Namibia illegal and insisted that the government must face sanctions unless fair elections are held by the Namibian people, the South Africans are employing every possible means to hold on to the country, but they failed, since this article in the West Manchester Guardian 1 week ago. One primary tactic has been to promote the long-standing colonial argument that the area would not be able to survive economically without USA and South African administration. Typical argument that poor blacks have to be led by white people. But a recent report issued by the German Development Institute after extensive interviews in Namibia undermines the South African and USA contention. German Development is the GDR, German Democratic Republic, the communist modern state of East Germany. The report details the vast resources and wealth in the country, currently cruelly, murderously exploited by the Voorster, prime minister, dictator of Union of South Africa's regime. Compared to many other independent states and measured against the size of its population, Namibia has rich mineral resources, asserted the report, listing a host of abundant minerals, making it one of the richest nations in the world. You should look it up on your map. There are people around there that should be looking at Southwest Africa, Namibia. Same, it's a large, large country, black, rich, and now all of its white people are seeking to find refuge in the United States, but the United States never looks after its own racist pigs. Therefore, USA and the Federal Republic of Germany, the Third Reich, the Nazi, the inheritors of Hitler's Nazi Germany, are planning to settle these white racist bigots, supporters of apartheid, in the Santa Cruz region of Bolivia, though that's been strongly protested since the women went on a hunger strike, six of them, and it's not sure that the 250,000 Namibian white racists will be settled there. However, Uruguay is agreeing to take 1.5 million. And Costa Rica, in Central America, is also agreeing to take several tens of thousands, which will certainly mean trouble, because the Union of South Africa's white people in Namibia, Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, Zaire, Angola, all of those areas are total bigots who believe that blacks, browns, and all people in South America are either of Asian, Indian, or African descent. So they will turn their prejudices against our people on this continent if they're allowed to settle here. And we must form a petition. I want the educational department under Professor Tropp and Carolyn Luman to get that petition and letters to go into the Prime Minister soon, backing up the stand of the Guyanese government not to allow these bastards, these racist bigots, to be settled in South America. Anyway, where were we now? Compared to many other independent states and measured against the size of its population, Namibia has rich mineral resources, asserted the report, listing a host of abundant minerals, including uranium. Oh, no wonder USA wants it to make more bombs, diamonds, and silver. After the Republic of South Africa, Zaire, and Zambia, Namibia is today, even before the uranium ore deposits are opened up, already the fourth largest producer of minerals in Africa. That's why USA is trying to hold on to Zaire, Z-A-I-R-E, and Zambia, Z-A-M-B-I-A, which they have seen. USA is so crooked that they have seen that Zambia has not been paid for its copper for over 1.5 years. Not one dime has gone to Zambia for any of its exports of copper, which is its only source of revenue. There has not been one penny payment received for 1.5 years. Furthermore, to cut down the price that Zambia can sell its copper, USA dumped a lot of surplus copper on the market to try to destroy the economies of Namibia, who is copper producing, Zambia, and Bolivia. USA is just a bandit. There's no other way to describe fascist USA, imperialist USA, monopoly capitalist USA that's in the senile stages. No way to describe it but that it's a bandit. Across the border, the institute found the South Africans have entered every area of economic life along with USA to maintain dependence and literally rob the Namibian people. Until they broke away today and got guarantees from the United Nations, the Union of South Africa, the dreaded dictatorship, and the USA that they will have total independence as of December of this year. And for that, SWAPU, as I said, you should know SWAPU, it's the Organization of Liberation in that part of the world, Southwest African People's Organization, a prominent Marxist liberationist group that has shot their puppet dictator that was put in by the Union of South Africa, Kapu, K-A-P-U-U-O, and then when a white man took over in his place, they shot his ass too. So they're quite an active group. The other one they took over was the white settler, who was a pro-Hitlerite sympathizer, Dirk Mudge, M-U-D-G-E. Talks over the slated Namibian internal settlement, that's Southwest Africa. I hope that Engineer Christian has got it changed, or will soon, to have Namibia on the map so that we can see it very clearly. Talks over the slated Namibian internal settlement continue to be bogged down over a number of issues. By the way, good news, just breaking through. Dr. Shack, encouraging news about Dr. Shack. Customs has released our x-rays and all material and medicines. Dr. Green, Minister of Health, Labor, in the cabinet and the government of Guyana, has agreed today that he will personally intervene to see that a compromise is made between the demands of medical regulations for all doctors so that our doctor will not have to go in the prescribed time. He made that promise to our delegation today, personally, and that he will get medications in for us and bypass all the rigmarole and red tape of the customs. The passage that we will be now equipped, that our SAT forces will be equipped, all of our licenses that we're requesting. Thank Comrade Christian. Is Namibia on the map? On the map? Thank you. Thank you very much for what you're doing. And any more maps that can be made, you've done an excellent job. I give you commendations and sweets on Sunday. You never have got them yet. Thank you so much. Anyway, the fact that we're getting the licenses for what we need in SAT and more of them is an encouraging sign. The attitude of the people today that represented some of the leading leaders, the head of Dr. Burnham's pet institute, Burnham Institute, and he was highly praiseworthy, and all the delegation were very, very well pleased, show to us that we are gaining more acceptance and removing further and further away from Mrs. White. No, don't misunderstand. I said moving further and further away from Mrs. White's neighborhood. Thank you. Stand by. Talks over the slated Namibian internal settlement continue to be bogged down over a number of issues. This is, I said, before the breakthrough today that Namibia will have its full independence because of SWAPU's crazy nigger tactics of eliminating the puppets, doing away with those counterinsurgency forces, killing the racist police over and over again. That's the only kind of talk that racist USA and Union of South Africa seem to be able to understand. The talks had slated, talks over the slated Namibian internal settlement, had continued to be bogged down over a number of issues before today's granting of independence to Namibia without qualification. The issues were including the questions of the deep water port of Walvis Bay, which is occupied by South African troops. The South African and USA monopoly capitalist neo-fascist interests want to control Walvis Bay, but that is being denied. South Africa insists on retaining the port, critical to the survival of an independent Namibia, as a special South African enclave with the United States and its imperialist designs. However, SWAPU forces say that the issue of the port is completely non-negotiable and that they must have control of the area. After a few more henchmen of the secret police of Union of South Africa were shot, kidnapped, and assassinated by the forces of SWAPU, again, you should know, South African, what is it? What SWAPU mean? Southwest African People's Organization. After a few more revolutionary incidents of SWAPU, the issue is no longer one of a problem. They will have control of Walvis Bay. All right. Angola. Western meddling. After Cuba and the People's Republic, the USSR, the Soviet Union, brought liberation by assisting the brave Angolan people, a secret fund of some $20 million has been raised by a group of governmental and private interests intent on destabilizing the revolutionary MPLA regime in Angola, according to the London Observer. The money reportedly comes from the Shah of Iran, one of the bloodiest murdering dictators, who's naturally a very close ally of USA in what is called CETO. That includes the dictatorship of Turkey, that murdered 2 million of its Armenian citizens by genocide, just like the Hitler in Germany murdered all the people of color and 7 million Jews. The money is coming from Iran, Saudi Arabia, another dictatorship. Saudi Arabia, the head of that country, murdered his own granddaughter, as you recall, because she decided to marry a commoner, an ambassador. Both were married and then murdered in public execution by a frenzied mob who were given swords, and anyone first come, first serve. That's the way they were killed. That's the kind of allies that USA has around the world. There's an old saying, you can tell people by the company they keep. And US's company is no description for the company USA keeps. The money to try to overthrow the black government of Angola that had been under the slave dominance of Portugal's dictatorship and USA imperialism, now they're trying to restore that kind of domination by overthrowing the socialist government and the MPLA party. But they won't succeed because Cuba and the Soviet Union have pledged and have already, in fact, at the time of this reading, sent more troops in to secure Angola from any further invasion by the USA or its puppets or its lackeys. The money reportedly would come from Iran, Saudi Arabia, and one other Arab source, in addition to France and Morocco. All of those, as you heard of my day's news, all these are right-wing dictatorships. U.S. keeps awfully bad company, gangsters. Of course, the chief gangster is U.S. ruling class interest. It will go to support Jonas Savimbi's, S-A-V-I-M-B-I-A-B-I-S's UNITA guerrilla activity. It's UNITA, guerrilla activity in southern Angola, which is already receiving military and financial aid from Union of South Africa, the terrible racist regime that keep our black people in concentration camps. The purpose is to combat the Soviet Union and Cuban People's Republic influence in Angola, writes Colin Legume in The Observer, the London Observer. If the report proves correct, this marks a further development of the increasingly aggressive intervention of the major powers under U.S. domination of the Middle East against African liberation movements. France and Morocco are old hands at combating independence everywhere, particularly in Africa now, as France failed in Vietnam. They are currently collaborating against the Polisario, P-O-L-I-S-A-R-I-O, forces in the Western Sahara, and last year in support of the corrupt Mobutu, M-O-B-U-T-O, regime in Zaire that's upheld by nothing less than U.S. capital, Z-A-I-R-E, against the Katangan rebels, K-A-T-A-N-G-A-N. Their Katangan operation was reportedly financed in part by Saudi Arabia. Since the MPLA military victory for socialism, Cuba and the Soviet Union in Angola attained with, of course, the brave support of the Soviet Union and Cuban support, UNITA has continued guerrilla operations against the regime, the administration of President Agostinho Neto, a rather young man who's been convalescing from ill health in the Crimea, a rather warm, lovely, tropical, subtropical part of the Soviet Union for the last month. They've been operating in the south near the Angola-Namibian border, but this will be curtailed now that Namibia has gained its freedom. There plays the South Africans' game by attempting to hinder Angolan resistance for the independence struggle led by SWAPU in Namibia. SWAPU, again, is Southwest African People's Organization. Note when I keep naming things. Savimbi, S-A-V-I-M-B-I, fought against the MPLA as a puppet of USA in the 1975 Civil War in Angola. At that time, with the active support of Zaire, Union of South Africa, USA, right-wing Portuguese military officers, Portuguese murderous secret police, and the CIA, who involved itself in tortures against Angolan children and women even. Savimbi made it clear then that he had advocated opening the country and its resources to capitalist exploitation. But you can be assured that Angola will remain free because the Soviet Union pledged in an open statement to the Warsaw Pact of its allies that they will not allow Angola to go down the drain and again be put under white domination in Africa. U.S. mercenaries are playing an active role in behalf of Nicaraguan dictator Anastasio Somoza, according to reports in the Latin American press of Venezuela. Nicaragua Institute for Development President Alfonso Robelo reportedly told the Mexican newspaper Excelsior that Washington is conducting an investigation into the Somoza government's use of 20 Cuban-American mercenaries, but not with much intensity. The Excelsior article also maintains that a group of anti-Castro Cubans fought the Frente Sandinista de Liberación Nacional when the latter attacked a Nicaraguan National Guard outpost at Riva last month. Four Cuban Americans were also reportedly granted asylum in the USA embassy following the murder of Dr. Pedro Chamorro. USA citizens working for the CIA murdered this newspaper man that was opponent of the dread fascist regime of Somoza. The four later left the embassy and disappeared back into the United States. And a Prensa Latina report of 11th of this month indicates that USA mercenaries are leading the anti-guerrilla attacks of the Nicaraguan Air Force. The article claims the mercenaries entered the country as technical consultants for the Somoza-owned Lanica Airlines. Last April 9, La Prensa published a letter from a group of Americans living in Nicaragua who condemned the Yankee mercenaries contracted by the Somoza government in conjunction with the USA CIA. Always, always, always. Now, this is a London Observer. But whatever newspaper you read, capitalist or socialist or communist, you find the USA is always on the wrong side, working with dictators, oppressors, and mass murderers. So it shows what they will do against the populace of Black America and Indian America when their time comes to try to get fair justice within the system. In this, now don't throw these things through the window, that hit me. In this historic moment, the letter, who threw that through the window? In this historic moment, the letter added, "We are in solidarity with the valiant struggle of the Nicaraguan people." That's encouraging. This is written by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and it shows that even U.S. settlers in Nicaragua find the CIA's murderous campaign and the Nicaraguan secret police under Somoza too dreadful for them to cooperate with and have condemned it. Americans living in Nicaragua have condemned the Yankee mercenaries contracted by the CIA and the Somoza fascist government. Vietnam, the Soviet Union's ally in Southeast Asia, that bravely this week resisted an invasion of Chinese tank forces and drove them back, and also resisted an invasion of Cambodia, to such a degree that China said they would withdraw support of troubling Cambodia, provided the USA withdrew USSR withdrew its forces from Indochina. Well, anyway, Vietnam is on a course of true Marxist-Leninist communism. Private business enterprises are being immediately abolished in all the southern half of Vietnam. According to report by Radio Ho Chi Minh City yesterday, the aim of the measure, the radio broadcast reported, is to stabilize the market and protect consumers against speculation, the black market, or the white market as we would say, and illegal hoarding by capitalists. The report said that private business that contributed to the economy had been encouraged in the South. Unfortunately, observed the People's Committee of Ho Chi Minh City, a large majority of these private business people, entrepreneurs, have shown contempt for all principles. Certain of them, for example, turned over their commercial licenses to the government and closed their shops while continuing to engage in speculation, go ahead, and participate in the white market. Details of the new measure are not yet known, but it is certainly an honest socialist course to eliminate business, private business. But it is believed that they apply only to commercial and industrial activity, but not to the agricultural sector in the South, where they're allowing small farmers to continue to own their own lands, where there are still numerous private cultivators of land. Until recently, in Vietnam, now reunified due to the liberation forces that were bravely backed by the Soviet Union, there have been four types of businesses in the South: state-owned, mixed-private, and state-owned, cooperative, and wholly private-owned. Presumably, the attempts by numerous merchants to hoard merchandise and use the resulting artificial scarcity to drive up prices is the reason that the revolutionary communist authorities of Vietnam want to end private commercial activity immediately and have done so. In particular, the private merchants bought rice last autumn at higher prices than offered by the state and cornered a significant portion of the rice production at a time of poor crops, and then offered the rice for the sale at prices many times higher than the authorized price of rice, creating a great hardship on the Vietnamese people. But corruption is not allowed in Vietnam, the satellite of the great Soviet Union. The government had originally planned to phase out private commercial activity gradually, in part in order to avoid hardships that might be created if commercial life were disrupted before there were sufficient state or cooperative outlets. But due to corruption and gangster activities of business people, all private business has been eliminated immediately, according to Radio Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh was the founder, a great man, educated in the United States, a great believer in liberation for black people and people of color the world over. He was the prime minister and liberator of North Vietnam and finally brought about the reunification, his forces, of all Vietnam and drove out the capitalist oppressors, namely France and then finally the corrupt USA. Other news can be replayed now. The news should be replayed at this time if someone will come and replay the news on several other countries I gave today, and you should be listening very closely. Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement Steering Committee begins at 7:15. And then at 7:45 to 8:30, all women will be meeting in the pavilion for liberation classes. Women's meeting, all women must attend. No excuses. All women must participate. Because women must be liberated as we who are black and brown were liberated from all oppression. 8:30 in the dining room tent will be a meeting of the steering committee and some important matters. Shonda James, where are you? You have some of those notes that I need to give final answers on that you were requesting. We will give answers to the steering committee about some things that can be approved for sale. Then the steering committee can make their own independent decision on one thing that I'm not sure about, the Downings. some kind of a area that involves tools that I am not so personally familiar with. 8:30 under the pavilion, movies will begin with the Technicolor productions of the Soviet Union that will be a part of your test. Then the movie following will be Airport 1975, Airport 1975, Airport 1977, and Sunshine. Sunshine, which is a good movie at the last, particularly about how a woman got over her sexual hang-up and began to think of the posterity of her child because she had terminal cancer. You need to look at it critically because it is filled with a lot of hippish, liberalish ideas. If the woman had been thoughtful of her child and not the so-called man that was dominating her life and had her leg removed early, she would not have had to worry about the problem later on. But at the last, it gets deep and with some intense feeling, at least, of more loyalty than you usually see in USA society to the child. Thereafter, there will be Spencer Tracy, in a very good movie in which he defends a poor man. As always, the poor are victimized and framed in U.S. society and capitalist society everywhere. I think I'll give a little bit more news here before we replay the other news. Turkey, rightist fascist violence. As I said, all allies of the United States are fascist, racist, and murderers. Turkey, look on your map. Turkey is a nation that murdered 2 million of its citizens, Armenians, because they were fearful. Okay. Armenians who were, they were fearful, were pro-Soviet, and so the Turkish fascist, which is a nation of Muslim bigots, Islam bigots, they killed the Christian Armenians. However, in Lebanon, a Christian dictatorship, until recently overthrown, was a fascist Christian party that was murdering Islam. So religion has bigots and murderers, no matter what the name of the religious order. The only religious movement, nation, that has ever gone communist or Marxist-Leninist or socialist was the Republic of Yemen, the Democratic Republic of Yemen, just below Saudi Arabia, look on your map, on the Horn of Africa. It's important to note that that's the only exception in history of a country becoming totally allied with the Soviet Union, an atheistic nation, following the dictates of materialism, scientific materialism. Also, Syria, though Muslim, Islam, has been a close ally of the United Soviet Socialist Republics, even though it too is Islamic. And Syria resisted the invader, aggressive, Zionist, fascist Israel when it attempted to take over Lebanon and destroy the Palestinian Liberation Front and Palestinians that had been removed from their land in 1948 when the USA and Britain set up the artificial and unnatural state of Israel to try to divide Jewish forces that had formerly always been in support of civil rights and working class solidarity and Marxist-Leninist programs. They set up the Zionist state of Israel to try to get the Jews more interested in nationalism than in international Marxist-Leninist socialism. And it worked. Many Jews have been sidetracked. Anyway, rightist violence and terror breaks out in Turkey. A 2-hour general strike was observed by thousands of Turkish workers on the 20th of this month to protest the killing of 60 students in a fascist attack on an Istanbul, look on Turkey and you'll find Istanbul, student demonstration 3 days earlier. The illegal strike, called by the leftist National Trade Union Federation, DISK, D-I-S-K, paralyzed business activity in the country's major cities. Hundreds of demonstrators were injured in clashes with police. The left is beginning to coalesce and organize even in the fascist-controlled Turkey, where the dictatorship was put in power again by who? Our taxpayer dollars when we were U.S. citizens, USA CIA. The April 2017 Istanbul University killings occurred when members of the rightist fascist National Action Party threw a bomb into a crowd of socialist and left-wing students and then opened fire. 50 were injured in addition to the 60 that were murdered. There were immediate protest demonstrations on the night of the attack, with progressive students shouting anti-Nazi rightist slogans and demanding that the killers be brought to justice. The following day, several thousand students marched in protest in the streets around Istanbul University, and demonstrations began to spread to students in Ankara, A-N-K-A-R-A. Istanbul is spelled I-S-T-A-N-B-U-L, where there were demonstrations and boycotts of classes. The initial student demonstrations were dispersed by police with no reported incidents. However, Premier Bülent Ecevit, E-C-E-V-I-T, seemed to be more concerned by the student protests than the fascist rightist violence. "I want all students," said he, "who want peace and appreciate the virtues of democracy not to be carried away by the intrigues of those who want to foster animosity." He said, implicitly warning the students not to demonstrate or to protest in the dictatorship that is set up in Turkey, but to have faith in the rule of fascist law. Meanwhile, there were large student demonstrations in Ankara, also on April 20. Also on April 20, progressive students marched through the main streets of the capital, shouting slogans such as "Find the assassins." Police moved against the demonstrators and arrested at least 3,000 students, teachers at Ankara University and at several secondary schools, suspended classes for 2 hours, also to protest the killings. After the worker stoppages and the student demonstrations at Ankara, the spokespeople of the rightist Fascist Justice Party said that its leadership would ask parliamentary members of the party to file a motion of censor against the Minister of Interior, who the Justice Party, Fascist Party of Turkey, claimed was incapable of stopping the rise of anarchy and communism, always the pet words of the ruling class, rich rulers, monopoly capitalists. Former Premier Demirel, D-E-M-I-R-E-L, head of the Justice Party, claimed the government of the Republican Party was incapable of restoring law and order. Anytime you hear law and order, you can know it's coming out of a fascist, racist, capitalist head. The state was passed into the hands of leftist militants, he asserted, and it is anarchy which has supplanted the state. There is a great deal of left-leaning socialist trends amongst the people of Turkey. That is a good sign on this Wednesday afternoon. This sort of rightist, fascist diatribe is intended to pressure the government and get it to crack down on the progressive forces. Apparently, the right wing, which means fascist, attacks have had some effect. Ecevit, E-C-E-V-I-T, Prime Minister, reacted by attacking all the forces which he said were trying to undermine his government, making no distinction between the rightist or fascist and progressive, liberal, and socialist demonstrations of April 20, both of which he condemned. Although Ecevit, E-C-E-V-I-T, ideologically has been identified in the past with democratic elements in Turkey, and his election campaign last year was supported by DISC, his attempt to appease the rightist The right wing of the fascists has played into their hands and served to encourage increasing right wing provocations that could lead to a coup d'etat, which means a military takeover, putting Turkey again fully back into a fascist slave state. Now, if you will, turn on the news about other nations that I gave earlier in the day so that we can get all the knowledge we can about these nations. Look up your map and study them well, comprehend them, because we will have knowledge. Without knowledge, there can be no sensitivity. Without sensitivity, there can be no commitment and dedication to liberation of black people, to socialist liberation anywhere. There can be no conscience without knowledge, so we insist on knowledge. If we do not pass the test, 70%, the first time we've had such, it'll be a test that there no cheating could be possible. If we do not pass the test, it will be necessary for those that do not pass 70% of the test, 7 out of 10 of the questions, to go on to a second class of socialism and so forth and so on until we do get knowledge of the basic principles of geopolitics and socialist thought, particularly international socialist thought and particular socialist developments in our own Republic of Guyana. Thank you and much love.